Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. So glad to have you with us. Well, it appears that the United States military is no longer seen only as friend, but perhaps even as a foe to the Europeans. Now, this is according to French President Emmanuel Macron, who wants to form a, quote, real European army to protect Europe from China, Russia, and the U.S. Well, what is going on with Europe and the U.S.? Let's begin tonight's debate with Press TV's correspondent in Paris, Ramin Mazahiri, standing by to share his thoughts with us dealing with President Macron's proposal to establish a pure European army. Ramin, thanks so much for being with us. Why is President Macron seeking to form a European army?
Well, his proposal certainly has led to a lot of discussion, both within France, within the European Union, with their allies, the United States. The row started when Macron said that the EU needs an army to protect themselves from China, Russia, and the United States. Given that the U.S. and France are allies, Trump responded to this as he called it insulting. But it has certainly put the issue back on the map, and it has France. Why is France pushing for this? Well, analysts are saying it's because France would be the natural leader of the EU army, because following Brexit, France is a nuclear power. They are the largest arms dealer in the EU. But there is going to be a lot of resistance within Europe to this idea, and that is coming from politicians. Chief Donald Tusk, however, he came out in support of it, and he said that Trump is averse to a strong and united Europe, and he also warned against the emergence of.
Okay, Ramin, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're having some technical difficulties. Our apologies to our viewers about that. That was Ramin Mazahiri, our correspondent there in Paris, and again, our apologies for those technical difficulties. Let me welcome my first guest out of Dallas, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer, Scott Bennett. Scott, thanks so much for being with us. Well, your take on all of this. Why do you think that Macron's call for the formation, or what do you think about the call for the formation of a European army?
Well, in one respect, you can understand why Macron and other European countries would want independence from the United States, because the United States military has upset and caused a tremendous reverberation of destruction and chaos and bloodshed through its last 18 years of Middle East wars. And Europe has suffered a lot of that human shrapnel, those refugee migrant waves that have flooded up across the Mediterranean and through Turkey into Germany, Sweden, Britain, and Calais, have been the effect of the U.S. meddling and interference in the Middle East. But France, of course, is responsible for part of that. So Macron is a hypocrite in a certain regard, because under Sarkozy, France was the initiator of the conflict with Libya and the propaganda that Muammar Gaddafi was a bloodshed dictator killing his people. All of that was lies. And Americans were on the ground that saw that, James and Joanne Moriarty, who I'm with a conference right now, and others, and we're talking about these sort of things. And I'm championing Russia and Iran as really the power brokers in the new Middle East, and how Europe needs to turn towards Russia and Iran as friends, not competitors. So I think there's a spirit of affability a new multipolarity sort of shift, as you know well, Marzia, that we talked about a long time ago when I was in Tehran. And I think those days are coming. So I think in one regard, Macron is trying to seek independence from the United States military juggernaut and the 5 years in seven countries in 5 years plan. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're responsible for a lot of this conflict. Okay. Macron and France has blood on their hands. Go ahead.
All right, Scott, thanks. Let me cross over to New York. Welcome my next guest, Ian Williams, Senior Analyst, Foreign Policy in Focus. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Ian, do you think that the Europeans are starting to feel threatened by the Americans, or is it that they think that the U.S. may not come to its aid if necessary? How do you assess the situation?
Well, it's complex. It's not so much that they fear, but if you don't have an independent military presence, then you don't get a voice at the table. And Macron isn't doing anything new. This is the old de Gaulle policy to establish France in particular as an independent entity. The force de frappe, the independent nuclear force, which was to show that France was not to be ignored. Britain was different. I think Britain's nuclear weapons, for example, were a tripwire to let the Americans know that we weren't going to be left alone again, after, like in 1939, that if the next war started, they would be involved very quickly. Because if nuclear weapons were involved, if British nuclear weapons were involved, the Russians weren't going to tell the difference. So, you know, there are different motives here. But certainly, Donald Trump's eccentric behavior is really tied back to the 1930s, to the know-nothings and the isolationists, which left Britain isolated for 3 years against Hitler. And that must be rolling around in people's minds and must be giving, it is giving pause in Britain to people who depended on the alleged special relationship, which basically involved the British volunteering to take part in American military adventures, apart from Vietnam, which they wisely stayed out of, to guarantee that they had a voice, a seat at the table, and a voice in Washington. So, but the need for an independent European military presence is fairly obvious, because Donald Trump has shown that he has no historical or other loyalties whatsoever. You think of another country like Taiwan. The Taiwanese are depending on an American military guarantee, which almost certainly would not be there. Trump is not going to go and defend democracy in another country. If Taiwan were built on a lake of oil, he might consider going to defend them. But he's not going to go and defend democracy. And the same in Europe. Europe is important, but it's not because it's a democracy or anything else. It's a strategic partner. It's part of American military strategic plans. But I don't think Trump has strategic plans. So he's really, nobody can take anything for granted at all.
All right. Well, Scott, let me get Scott back in on this discussion, Ian. Well, Scott, U.S. President Donald Trump has tweeted that Macron's call for a European army is very insulting. Why would this be insulting when Trump has been complaining about the U.S. carrying financial load for the military protection of Europe? So why not just let them do it themselves?
I hope that you're not looking for logic and consistency in President Trump's
tweets. Let me get Scott. Stay with me, Ian. Stay with me, Ian. Let me get Scott back in on this. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, let me say, first of all, this could be a psychological operation by Donald Trump, and he's notorious for these sort of things. And there are ambitious people around Donald Trump, and they're angling to develop NATO into a new warfighting machine. So in a sense, Trump can achieve that end by seemingly provoking conflict and disagreement with Macron, but at the same time, Macron and Trump can be on the same sheet of paper and say, instead of independent army for France and the U.S. being separate, let's transition and combine your idea and my idea into a recalibration of NATO. I think that's the main objective. Again, I'm at a conference with all sorts of intelligence, military people. It's an unclassified conference, and it's astounding to hear all of the conversations from people like Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who's talked to me directly and said one of the main objectives of the CIA and London House and who I work for is to transition NATO into a new warfighting machine. And I said, why? Because Iran's not an enemy, Russia's not an enemy, it's a multipolar world. Why are we trying to pick fights when everyone else is trying to achieve a peace and stability? Haven't we learned enough about Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan? Are we really prepared to start a war with Russia, China, Iran at the same time? So there are those of us who are voicing peace, and I think Donald Trump is being bullied and pressured and controlled by a lot of these people. So Donald Trump, as your other guest says, there is no strategic direction. There's only impulsive reaction. But I think Macron's European army independence from the U.S. could be real. It could be a impulse to separate from the U.S. juggernaut. And we all know that Russia and France and Europe, they're all Europeans. We're very quickly, I think, going to see a Scandinavian-Russian alliance because of all of the turmoil that Scandinavia is experiencing, that will even come down into Scotland and Ireland. So you'll see a Celtic, Scandinavian, Russian, Slavic alliance in the next probably 1 to 5 to 10 years. And that will also have a connection to Iran through Russia. So I think we're seeing a whole breakup of the continental political alliances and the emergence of a multipolar world, a major paradigm shift. And this is one of those movements. The question is Trump and Macron going to recalibrate NATO for war fighting against Ukraine, war fighting against Russia, war fighting against Crimea? Or are they going to be, is this going to be stopped and they're going to shift? It's going to come down to how is President Trump and President Putin going to exchange words at this current conference that's upcoming. And I hope that President Trump and President Putin are behind the scenes saying, how can we stabilize and calm the world? How can we not get engaged in these conflicts? Because Russia is not going to pull out of Syria. They're not going to abandon Iran. I think we see Turkey stepping in to fill the vacuum that Saudi Arabia is quickly imploding into. Saudi Arabia, as we've talked about before, Marzia, Saudi Arabia very much is going to be approaching a coup d'etat, most likely, in disintegrating, and it is not going to represent the Sunni world. Turkey will be. And maybe that'll be a very good thing because Iran and Turkey have much more affability and political maturity than the Saudi Arabian emotional tantrums of Mohammed bin Salman, which seems to be all obsessed with war fighting. So this is a very interesting time. Okay. And again, the conference we're talking about this is OperationClassified.com. And I'm championing a lot of these things and putting Iran as our best friend that we need to make in the next 5 years. There's no reason to go to war. And it's refreshing. Everybody here is on the same page. No one wants new conflicts with Iran and Russia, and that's a good thing.
That is a good thing, but I'm wondering, those who are making the decisions at the top, Scott, actually they're the ones that have to think it's a good thing. What about that, Ian? Scott, basically, when he talked about the situation as far as if Macron and Trump are actually thinking logically and about the future and making decisions accordingly, basically to ease up on this aggression in general that is in the world. Your take on all of this, because Scott said, that perhaps this is a psych operation. Your take on all of this and looking at Trump and his performance so far, is it that he's trying to strong arm France or the Europeans, or do you think there's something else going on here?
I think that's far too subtle for him. He has an uncanny political ear to play to the masses, but he doesn't play chess. He doesn't think moves ahead. He knows what resonates with his base, and he says it, and he knows how to bully. But, I mean, on the world stage, he's been singularly ineffective. The people he has been bullying and threatening have tended to react badly. They have, you know, if anything, they've united to thwart his aims. He's managed to get a coalition of people, you know, working on how to thwart sanctions on Iran. He's managed to get an almost unanimous coalition opposing the renewed sanctions on Cuba. So, you know, diplomatically, he's a washout. But the U.S. is still an incredibly important political power. And this is one of the conundrums for the Europeans, is that all of the European powers in NATO put together, with the dubious exception of the British and the French, have no reach. They have no long reach capacity. They have what, pocket full of aircraft carriers between them. They rely upon the US for heavy lift logistics. Even when NATO was involved in places like Afghanistan, they needed US capabilities and long lift capabilities because none of the European powers have anything serious in that way. So yes, they want an independent army. But it's not really independent. It's independent to the extent that they want to have, let's say, you know, at least a finger on the steering wheel of the NATO-US juggernaut. They don't want to be completely blown aside. And of course, I think Trump realizes that. He realizes that what Macron is basically saying is, we don't trust you. And no wonder he's insulted. And of course, nobody trusts him at all. How can you? I mean, he's, you know, Kim Jong-un is our best friend. Kim Jong-un is our worst enemy. If it weren't for the Israeli lobby, I'm fairly quite sure that he could be very friendly and fall in love with the Ayatollahs in Tehran at any moment. But he does have the Israeli lobby pushing on that one at home, so he's beholden to them. You know, he is completely capricious on these matters. And he doesn't see things in ideological terms, in terms of goodies and of Democrats and others. He's quite prepared to deal with extremely ruthless regimes, as we saw over Saudi Arabia. You know, he's prepared to cut deals with murderers of journalists and beheaders of women. So his politics aren't based upon principles and ethics. They're based upon caprice and what he sees as the long-term interest of the United States.
Okay.
Because remember, it's America first. That's it. And the Europeans have got that message. Okay, it's America first. Well, what do we do? How
All
do
right.
we get in there?
Okay, well, Scott, what is wrong with the Europeans actually forming their own army from Washington's perspective? And actually, would the U.S. even allow the Europeans to do so?
Well, one thing they don't understand is that there really technically is no Europe. There are the Scottish, there are the Germans, there are the Swedes, there are the Norwegians, there are the French, there are the Spaniards. There are all sorts of different tribes and genetic dispositions and propensities that make up the mosaic of Europe. And I personally was born in Scotland, and so I don't consider myself European. I consider myself Scottish in blood and American by citizenship. The same goes for the Germans and the France and the Swedes. So the notion of a European army is automatically, it falls flat because they are so different in a lot of their historical, cultural, mythopoetic identifications that they pride themselves on their differential. Now, they can have a rapid response to threats, and that's what NATO was designed for, but they certainly don't have a disposition for some sort of united force made up of a composite of Germans and French and Spanish, Swedes, because they don't get along in one respect, Marzia. They can to a certain degree, but the idea of a European army really falls flat. Now, that being said, I think it's a good thing that it falls flat. But they need to be prepared to defend themselves and have their own identity. But nothing is wrong with it. It's just it's not going to function properly. In one respect, they're not fighting traditional wars against Russia, against Germany. They're not going to fight a war against Iran. So there really is no need. And that's why I say this could be a flanking maneuver, a psychological operation meant to recalibrate NATO by incorporating Macron's ideas. Now, I will say one thing. Trump has stopped all U.S. refueling flights to the Saudi Arabian Air Force in its war against Yemen. I think that is the most important domino to fall because it will inevitably lead to the removal of Mohammed bin Salman and the disintegration of the Saudi regime if it has not done so already. Your other guest is right. The murder of Khashoggi, the apparent torture, the apparent skinning alive, is a reprehensible act that has caused shivers throughout the entire European mass and all of the political establishment. And that is going to put Trump in a position where he has to come on their side of the moral decision that Saudi Arabia needs to go.
Okay, stay with me on that, Scott. Ian, you were shaking your head when Scott was saying that the makeup of the Europeans so diverse that there is no way that they actually could come together.
The U.S. Army includes Puerto Ricans, Native Americans. It includes Scandinavians from Montana and the border area. It includes Scots-Irish from the Appalachians.
They're Americans.
It includes blacks from Harlem. And they don't have difficulty thinking of themselves as Americans. And I can assure you that being a European in America really makes me think of being European, because there is a shared cohesiveness and identity. And I was thinking, the coalition, it just occurred to me, the coalition that fought its way up Italy, and I spoke to some of these veterans, included Indians, Yugoslavs, Canadians, New Zealanders, Americans, French, Italians, and they saw themselves as part of an allied army. They did not have these ethnic decisions. They knew what they were fighting for. And I really think that the mytho-cultural aspect is completely
misplaced. Well, Ian, isn't that part of it? Ian, let me just jump in here. Isn't that part of it, actually, what Scott had said? Because you said they knew what they were fighting for. But would the Europeans know what they're fighting for now? Because what would they be fighting for? If we've seen over the last, let's say, 10 years, a decade or so, if the Europeans have gotten involved, usually, where the United States have gotten involved, and many of the American troops didn't really understand why they were where they were. So isn't that part of the new dilemma for these militaries, that at the end of the day, these young people really don't understand why they're fighting? They have not been invaded. They are not threatened. Their borders are not threatened. They're sent somewhere else. And at the end of the day, they see that it's not making a difference as far as bringing peace and security, as they're told, but just causing more chaos.
Well, I suspect now a European army is, it doesn't have the capability, let alone the political will, to launch aggressive war, especially if the Americans have their hand taken off the steering wheel. The Americans will invent excuses to have wars. They will go into other countries. Tony Blair is now gone. There's no enthusiasm in Europe for intervening in the Middle East or anywhere else. So any European army should be considered to be a defensive operation. They are there to defend NATO countries, which is the basis of the NATO treaty, which incidentally was what was invoked at the time of 9/11. There was an attack on a NATO country. That's why NATO got involved in Afghanistan. You may dispute the tactics, but the principle was there. A NATO member was attacked. There was a response, and a lot of them, most of them, in fact, joined in.
So, right. I mean, except they didn't attack where the majority of the hijackers were allegedly from, and that was Saudi Arabia. Scott Bennett, last minute. I understand
you. Some of them ended up attacking Iraq where there was no connection.
Well, I think you are brilliant in your analysis, Marzia. I think you're right on the money again. You're ahead of the game, and the Europeans have no reason to put a war together. They're not going to be initiating war against Russia, but they could be pressured into recalibrating NATO. But the American people don't want war anymore either. And John Bolton and Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo and the warmongers that are parasitically attaching themselves to Donald Trump are not favored by the American people. Nobody wants the American people to go to war because there is no purpose. There's no purpose to go against Russia because it's not the Soviet Union. It's not the Communist Empire. It's the Russian Christian Orthodox that are protecting the Christians from being assassinated, murdered, and killed and beheaded by the Saudi Arabians that are pushing up into Syria. And the Syrians, as Senator Black has met with the Bashar Assad, they're protecting Christians. Iran has Christians and Jews living in it. The only menace to humanity has been Saudi Arabia. And I would say the war criminals are Sarkozy, Cameron, Obama, Hillary Clinton, who initiated a false flag war against Libya, slaughtered the Libyan people, raped and pillaged, cut up their children, and put them in refrigerators. We have eyewitness accounts of these things, and America has blood on its hands for those actions. Now, that being said, there are justifications for exposing all this and bringing it out in war tribunals. And I personally know about the financing that Saudi Arabia did because I worked in terrorist financing at U.S. Central Command. Okay. It's what I talk about at Operation Classified. And the world knows it, and it's only a matter of time.
We'll definitely have to cover that on another show. We're out of time for this one. Appreciate both of you being with us. Senior analyst, Foreign Policy and Focus, Ian Williams out of New York, and former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett out of Dallas. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi signing out right here in Tehran. See you next time.